I said to this woman, I'm like, do you have a squirrel problem? I'm like, what's with the squirrels? And she's like, oh, I used to have a pet squirrel and the squirrel died. And I'm like, well, your mother's showing me that she has the squirrel with her. She goes, yeah, because they're cremated and we have them together. I mean, who has a pet squirrel?
And who has it on the mantelpiece next to their cremated mother?
Exactly.
Now she got a roommate she didn't ask for.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
She literally tells us when we can contact her. In the agreement, it says 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday. Those aren't banker's hours. What are we doing? I got shit to say. You don't think I want to talk to people? I've been dead. I'm dead. I cannot communicate unless I use this dumb bitch. It sucks. Mr. Spirit, out.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Greene. This is my dear friend and best friend. Happy Best Friend Day to Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you.
Bestie Brian. And best to you. Happy Best Friends Day.
Well, thank you. I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone else.
No.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Happy Best Friends Day.
I know.
It's like, you know, it's hard to describe what exactly this podcast is because I'm not sure we even know.
We don't. We're making it up as we go.
Yeah, we're making it up as we go. And as we mentioned on the last episode, even like at the very top of this podcast game, there's a lot of people who just like, they just cut and run.
Yeah.
Because they don't know where they're going with it. Like, it's like, okay, well, I said what I needed to say, or I laughed at the jokes I thought I had, and now it's kind of over. There is, pod fade is real, and yeah. Lots of podcasts fade. However, Chrissy and I are in constant pursuit of the next download, so we just decide to turn the microphones down and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I only think that that kind of longevity, 370 plus episodes in, I only think this kind of longevity could happen between two best friends.
I agree.
Because what else would we have to fucking talk about if we didn't know each other?
I know. Yeah. If we
only know each other from the studio,
exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it would be like a good reality show, a friendship being born. But we just rehash all the old times. Yeah.
We'd start some drama.
That's right.
There'd be a scandal of some sort.
Oh, scandal. Speaking of scandal, Tom Sandoval is...
Sandy.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal about this. He cheated, okay?
Yeah.
All right. It happens all the time. There's nothing new under the sun.
I know. I think people were so invested in the relationship, I guess, when you put it out there. If it was even real to begin with, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know what's real and what is not.
But the two girls were roommates, apparently. They lived in the same house. They worked in the same building. They were Tom Sandoval and this other girl was behind this girl Rachel's back for the whole time. I don't know much about it because I've never seen an episode of the show. I'm only now watching Tom Sandoval do cover tunes with Tom Sandoval and the Dastardly Duo or whatever they fucking call it. What is it called?
The Dastardly Duo.
Tom Sandoval and the Incredibles or whatever. Remember we listened to a song he did?
Yeah. And it wasn't bad.
It was good.
Right.
It was actually good. I actually thought it was good. Now, I think it was total lip syncing on his behalf. I think they were running a track behind him. But okay, I imagine it was still his voice. Mm-hmm. He sounded good.
Yeah.
And then I've watched a couple of other videos and you know, the band's not bad. And apparently they're doing, Tom Sandoval's band is now on some tour, like an actual tour where they go to different states and they sell out different places. Not like my friend on Facebook who goes to the same bar 2 weeks in a row and calls it his summer tour.
Isn't that your summer tour? He's like in the corner of the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah. That's, you're showing up twice at an open mic. That's what's really going on. You're calling it your summer tour. One like on Facebook, and it's him liking it. And I'm like, poor guy.
Oh, wow.
I know, but I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
I am. Not going to show up to any of those shows.
I was going to say, are you going to go to a show?
No, like I said before, we put on that Patreon. I didn't see anyone showing up. I'm not going to go to Charleston, South Carolina to see somebody on an open mic night. I've done that. I've been to open mic nights. That was my teenage years in my 20s.
Yeah.
When you could go to an open mic night and just drink yourself silly and whatever came out of the guitar and the voice sounded good because of how hammered you were. Now I'm old enough to know better that open mics, yeah, there are diamonds in the rough and that's where a lot of people start. But then there's a lot of noise you got to get through to get to one of those gems.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, back to Vanderpump, though. So I went on this girls' trip this past weekend.
Vanderpump!
Well, and there's a couple of girls that are involved that really do like that show. And
They're into it, huh?
They were trying to get me to watch a couple of them, and I was like, I can't because I know myself. if I start it, I'm going to be sucked in.
You're going to go down the reality hole.
Exactly. I'm going to hold up in the bedroom. Jeff's going to say, are you getting out of bed? I'll be like, just one more Vanderpump Rule. After this one, I'll shower.
What I wouldn't give to have a camera in your house and just watch you and Jeff interacting on a daily basis. It's endlessly fascinating to me what's going on over there at that house. I don't know why, but it is.
He basically works.
Yeah.
And then I watch my shows.
So you're in the bedroom and he's in the living room? Is that how it goes? Or he's in the little office area?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're in the bedroom just watching terrible reality television show?
Yeah, doing my workout. Yeah.
He's growing resentful as you're...
Oh, he's so supportive.
Yeah.
I told him last night, I was like, you're so supportive. I don't know if that I would be that supportive.
Yeah, thank you for being supportive of this job that I keep going to where no money shows back up.
He says he just wants me to be happy.
Yeah. Well, good. Good for him.
Yes.
I feel bad for my wife because she's got to explain to people what I do. I'm sure Astrid, when I'm around, Astrid always seems very proud of what's going on. She's always like, oh, he's shy, but he has this episode. You know, he has this podcast called The Commercial Break. And I just don't want to say anything to people because I want to save everybody the embarrassment of listening to The Commercial Break and going, what a potty mouth asshole idiot that guy is. You know, what a jerk off he comes across as. He's so nice in person. And then you listen to The Commercial Break and all he's doing is just bitching and railing on everybody else. So I don't get into it because I want people to like me. So I'm like, right. I don't want to tell you what I do.
Yeah.
But I'm learning. I'm learning to just, you know, say it out loud. And
I usually just say, hey, proud. Give me your phone.
Yeah.
I'll download it for you. And, you know, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Listen at your leisure.
Do you mind if I download all 356 exactly. episodes to your phone? Because we can make money on that. And then
you're helping support
you can
me.
Delete them later.
Yes. Yeah.
But I always figured that Astrid has when I'm not around, Astrid is always doing a dance also. She's like, oh yeah, my husband's in the digital media industry.
Right.
Oh, what does he do? Digital media.
Business.
Business. He's a business person. I'm a business person. Brian Green, business person. Nice to meet you.
We need cards made up.
We do need cards made up. Put that in the book.
I'll put that in the notebook.
Oh my God, that notebook is full
it's
of trash.
Full.
Yeah. It's full?
No.
Okay.
But it's full of shit.
Shit that we're never going to do.
We can always go back to it.
Yeah, we can always go back to it. We always say that. We never do.
Nope.
One of these days, we're going to actually spend time on this show, besides this 45 minutes worth of interaction that we do here. I am watching the most fascinating TikToks I think I've ever seen, and it's just beyond me. You know, we, here at the show, we have always had great fun with people's sexual proclivities. And we've always said, if you're into something, somebody else is into it.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what it is, as long as it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. And we support, and we strongly support your right to love anybody at any time, anywhere, how and where you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? However that looks.
Not as, next to me in the booth, though, at sushi last
no.
night.
No. Oh, was someone having sex in the booth?
They were getting close.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, is it like that time?
Like, come on.
Like the time I went to the restaurant and up and the guy, who's that guy? Vince McMahon showed up with a 20-year-old prostitute.
Yes.
Remember I told
yes,
you that?
Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't really Vince McMahon. Don't get your lawsuits out, Vince. Settle down.
It was a Vince McMahon look-alike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on TikTok, there is the strangest, I don't even know what to call it. I don't know if this is sexual proclivity or just something people are into, or I don't know what's going on. Hot girls taking baths in tubs full of milk and cereal, nude, and then capturing the milk and the cereal, putting it in a mason jar, and selling it to people.
Oh my God, Brian, this is your dream. This, you love that cereal.
I love cereal. If they would do it with cream, I'd buy all of it. Yeah. Who doesn't want a little pubic hair in their cereal and cream? That's all I'm saying. Little KY jelly makes that stuff taste all the much better. These girls are swimming in this milk and cereal like Fruit Loops, and then they're literally scooping it up with a mason jar, putting a cap on it, signing it, sending it off to whomever was willing to buy it. And then there are people who are making TikToks out of them drinking the milk and cereal and how excited they're getting, mainly guys who are probably disturbed in some way, shape, or form. either they're disturbed or they see this as the joke that it is and they're just trying to ride on the high. I get that part. But there's a few guys that I saw, I think they're a little bit too into this. Now, whatever you're
even,
into,
how
dude.
How do you even transport the milk? Doesn't it go bad, like going through the mail?
That's,
is that even allowed
that's
to
why
be
I'm a,
sent through the mail?
I'm a little sus about all this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there is a delivery service somewhere, DHL. DHL seems to carry all the drugs and narcotics for everybody, don't they? Didn't they go out of business and now they just ship large packages
I
of
think they are the drug carrier.
Gummies and weed everywhere? Painkillers from Canada or whatever's going on, whatever the kids are into these days. Fentanyl from the cartels. So I'm kidding. I don't know anything about it. We got to be careful now because, you know, if everybody wants to send you a cease and desist letter. But I don't think DHL is advertising on the commercial break anytime soon anyway. So, like, no. I give a shit. But I know when I was getting my drugs through the mail, it came through,
DHL.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if this is real or it's fake. Or it's hard to tell sometimes if, you know, people are collaborating on these things. But I just find it to be the weirdest. What sexual pleasure could you possibly get out of drinking rotten milk and soft cereal that's been sitting in a mason jar for days that somebody put their body in? How do you know where that body's been? How do you know what's coming out of that body or into that body or whatever's going on? What in the world could possibly be good? How could you make the cereal taste better by putting it in a bathtub? How could you possibly do that? I get nervous when I see like a fingerprint on a glass, you know? I'm like, give me a new glass. I don't know why you would want to drink out of there. And then to put your face publicly on TikTok showing you drinking that milk, it's just like, I would be more inclined to tell you that I am the host of the commercial break than to tell you that I am drinking milk and cereal from some young lady's bathtub. That's all I got to say. Now, I will say, and let's face it, milk is delicious. I think it's delicious.
It is. I do like a good glass of cold milk.
I do. I don't drink it a lot, and I've just cut out the cream. No more cream for Brian. But I do like it every once in a blue moon, especially like something sweet or chocolatey, right? But milk, after a hot minute, starts to smell like the underside of my nuts. It's really a bad smell. And you know, because everyone here has either tasted or smelled bad dairy. It just goes bad. It smells bad. And so for me, I don't think I would derive any pleasure whatsoever out of filling a bathtub up with milk and letting it sit there for an hour while someone took a bath. But I will say this one, but if, let's say, I don't know, Emily Ratajkowski wanted to take a bath in milk, let's just say that the world was we were in a totally alternate universe. Brian was single. He met Emily Ratajkowski. I looked like Pete Davidson and had the same sense of humor. I met Emily Ratajkowski and we were sleeping together. And she said, you know what really turns me on? I want to get into a hot tub of milk and you throw some cereal on me and then we'll do whatever. I would, then and only then would I consider it. Mm-hmm. But I still wouldn't eat it. I still wouldn't drink it. Yeah.
Each to their own. I mean, people have a lot of different things that they like that turns them on. Feet.
I know.
Farts in a jar.
Farts in a jar was...
That was pretty wild.
Straight up original. I got to give that girl one thing. Yeah. That was straight up original. And you can draw a direct line from farts in a jar to rotten milk and cereal in a jar. You can definitely draw a direct line to that. She was that's a trend-setting girl right there.
She's a pioneer.
She's a pioneer. Now, you haven't heard a damn word from her since last year when she was, I don't know if successfully or unsuccessfully, selling farts in a jar. But I have another question, just a woman question in general. Like, isn't that it's a pretty complicated piece of machinery you got down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you got to get oil changes and lubes and take it in every 3,000 miles and all that stuff. So is putting milk up there really the best idea, do you think?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think your uterus was built for milk in a jar.
Well, there's good bacteria and bad bacteria. And yeah, that might throw things off.
Yeah. I think that's just a case of salmonella waiting to happen. And as a guy who's had a couple cases of salmonella, I'm telling you right now, that's no joyride. However, it is a great diet. If you're looking to lose 30 pounds real quick, get salmonella. Yeah. You may die, but the good news is you're going to look really good on at your wake.
Yeah. So, I bet that guy that was eating the raw chicken wings got salmonella.
Unbelievable. They're still looking for that guy. I just read an article that people are concerned about him. Yeah, they were like concerned about him. We had a story a number of episodes ago. I found a story where a mall had captured a video of a guy going down an escalator. He had just bought chicken. He opened the package, raw chicken. He had opened the package and was eating the raw chicken while he was walking through the mall. I know. How fucked up is that?
And he was fucked up.
People were actually concerned for the guy. They were trying to find him. It's like, if anybody knows this guy, let us know. I think a doctor wanted to smack his head. Be like, hey, dude, did you go to like third grade science? You shouldn't be eating raw fucking chicken. Yeah. I think I got my salmonella from raw pork. I think that's how I got it. Yeah. Like pork loin, it's not meant to be raw. No. You're supposed to cook it all the way through. A good pork chop at a fine dining restaurant.
True.
Medium. Yep. Right? It should be pink and warm all the way through. And in that situation, you could probably get away with it. Mm-hmm. Still would prefer that it be all the way cooked through, but I have had a few pork chops that have a little bit of pink in them. But I paid a lot of money for it. And because I paid a lot of money for it, I knew I could sue the restaurant if I got sick.
That's correct.
However, I ate the pork at a family dinner, and it just frowned upon in general.
Didn't it create a whole wave of sickness in this household?
The salmonella is not contagious, so it didn't have.
No, but everybody ate it, didn't they?
Yeah, but not everybody got sick.
Okay.
Because most people were smart enough to stay away from the red pork, but Brian went right for it. I was just sopping it up. I was like, and by the way, I didn't really like it all that much, but I was really hungry. So I just took, it was like one of those, you know, huge loins or pieces of pork put in the oven, cooked for 38 hours, taken out, but it was so big, it was so hard to get it all the way cooked through. So as we started pulling the pork off, I was just grabbing whatever I could. And it wasn't, and Astrid even said something to me, like in that moment, she goes, she like leaned over and she's like, is that a little pink? But you got to understand Astrid, the one true picadillo about Astrid that I am totally against is that Astrid likes everything extraordinarily well done.
Oh, yeah. Her family was like that.
Her meat cannot have one bit of color in it. Yep. If it is, she wants to send it back. So she just tells the waiter right out front. And because she's not the type of person to bitch and complain, she just tells the waiter right up front, kill it. Like, just kill it. If it's hard and black, I don't care. Right. That's the way I like it.
Yes.
And so anytime Astrid sees pink in any meat, she gets a little skeeved out. Mm-hmm. So, but she did warn me. She was like, hey, I think that looks a little pink, without trying to alert everybody else at the table.
Is this cooked all the way through?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Hey, Dad, you trying to kill me? She didn't want to ruin Thanksgiving dinner by saying it out loud. No one else got as sick as I did, but I was sick for 3 weeks. I was sick. That was crazy. I didn't have an appetite. Everything went through me. I lost a bunch of weight. I gained it right back after I got the salmonella, because my appetite came roaring back when I got better. But I was on a bunch of medications. I went to the doctor and the hospital a couple times. Yeah, I had to get fluids. It was a whole fucking nightmare. God, getting old sucks. I'm sure I had salmonella in my 20s too, but I just did a couple rails and I never ate anyway. So I just did a couple rails and a Bud Light. And if if I had the shits, I just figured it came from the cheap cocaine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. From that laxative. That laxative.
Favorite cut for a cocaine of the drug dealers is laxative. Yeah. Baby fucking laxative. So that's why you're always that gag reflex comes from your stomach going instantaneously. Like, what the fuck are you doing to me? Gasoline, methane, coca plant, and baby laxative down your sinus cavity. Yeah. Please stop it.
Yeah, let's get some.
Yeah.
Friday night's coming up.
I know it. At least I was never blowing coke up my asshole.
No.
Like some people do.
Right.
That's a delivery method of choice for some people.
I've never been around anyone that's done that. I know Stevie Nicks is rumored to have done that.
Yeah.
But you're at
last. Well, she said she did it.
You're at last resort.
That's a total last resort. Well, she had totally ripped her.
You can't even get it up
there. Septum was completely gone. She literally just has a big like hole in her nose. It's like nostrils, but there's no separator there.
Right.
So if you look at her, you can kind of tell that there's something funky going on with that nose up there. But she has good doctors, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks is such a bad fucking ass.
She is. I love her so much.
Yeah. And
she just had her 75th birthday.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they going out and tour again too? Didn't Christine McVie just die? She died like a year ago, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a shame. What a great band. Yeah, what a great band.
I mean,
band.
Incredible. And I've read all these different autobiographies from different members of the band, and it's so fun. to just relive compare it through their, eyes and like piece it together of the, they said this and we said this and where they came from. It's just a, it's a fantastic story.
The 60s, 70s, and 80s rock stars just did it different. They just did it different.
Yeah, you mean they didn't just get instantly famous on YouTube?
I'm not sure. Yeah, no, not on YouTube, but there were the powers that be that guided the hand. Like, I don't think Fleetwood Mac or Led Zeppelin or any of those bands got famous without influencers at the highest level choosing them to be famous, right?
It was because they were just inherently really good.
Yeah, they were really good. But you know, there's really good musicians all around the world right now.
Yes.
There's some musicians, like there's some people that I know that are so fucking talented, but they're in their 40s and they're still waiting for their big break. Like the guy going on tour
in
Charleston.
I was gonna say Charleston.
He's really good. He's actually very talented. Is it my favorite type of music? No, but I could see somebody getting into it. But the problem is, or the challenge is, you know, there's not everybody can make it at that level. And it's really difficult. And you have to navigate. And God, this is like the conversation we had about Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is a baddie. She's a fucking baddie.
Yes.
And she takes control over herself and her image and every detail of her tour and every detail of her album. And she took her power back when the record company tried to fuck her. And I applaud her for all of that. However, did she like come out of nowhere, like, you know, Silver Springs, Oklahoma, from some cardboard shack and, you know, make it this big? No, she didn't. She had some help along the way. What that is, I don't know, but I can only imagine, coming from an affluent family with prominent parents, that they made sure that she had the most opportunity and then she went and ran with it. Her talent took her the rest of the way.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what happened too, I'm sure, with, you know, a lot of these bands. And I'm sure there's the occasional organic breakthrough story. There's lots of them, you know, Widespread Panic, Fish. You think anybody was looking for a Fish album? No one was looking for a Fish album. You listen to some early Fish or some early Widespread or Dead or I don't know about Dave Matthews, but any of those other bands, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, those are more about the communities too that kind of grow around the bands.
That's right.
Travel around and it becomes more about, oh, hey, I saw Brian, you know, and hey, you live in Texas and I live in Georgia, whatever, and we see each other and we meet up
at
the show.
That's right. The communities take them to the next level. Mm-hmm. And those communities are super organic, right? People talking to other people, sharing like-minded ideas and like-minded musicians and
sharing
all this
drugs.
Other stuff. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I do think that drugs is such a big part of that story. Like, when you watch that Grateful Dead documentary on Amazon Prime, it is a beautifully orchestrated documentary. And part of why I think it's beautiful is they focus on the things that were really important in that story, which is drugs and community.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the two things that made the Grateful Dead the Grateful Dead. And they didn't shy away from sharing that the Grateful Dead, Jerry Garcia really being the ringleader, and Mickey Rourke, or whatever his name is, Mickey Hart.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. Absolutely demanding that there be copious amounts of drugs around at all times.
Yeah, well, that's when the drugs were really kind of forming into society, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, can you imagine being at the beginning of the LSD movement?
I can't. I mean, you know, like, I read this.
Was new.
I read this in a book. You know this electric Kool-Aid acid test?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know or don't care, the Grateful Dead, San Francisco band, Haight-Ashbury is becoming this like mecca for quote-unquote hippies, kids that are basically disenchanted with the war efforts, disenchanted with the government, disenchanted with college, disenchanted with everything, being under their parents'
the
thumb.
The man.
And they have this idealistic view, like most young people do, idealistic view that we can just go somewhere else, live the way that we want to. Everything's all about love and all that other stuff. Now, reality will hit you in the face eventually. It's those same people that were in Haight-Ashbury that are currently destroying the earth. But that's okay. It becomes about money at some point, right? The yuppies then become billionaires, then they just kill us all with their AI, with their chatty GPT. But anyway, so the Grateful Dead has a house in the center of Haight-Ashbury, and they start they're really the nucleus. Yeah, the soundtrack to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? They would shut down the street and have street parties, and the Grateful Dead would play for hours and hours and hours, noodling around in the most terrible ways. But people were all fucked up, so they didn't care, and they were having fun and having sex and running around topless and all this other stuff. So when LSD started being manufactured by Ken Kesey and some of these other people, and Timothy Leary and all this other stuff. When that started hitting this subculture that was going on in San Francisco, they held a series of parties where the Grateful Dead really started to take hold, and that was called the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. Mm-hmm. And these were parties where the Grateful Dead and other musicians would get up and play for days. Because what they would do is they would take Kool-Aid, dump a bunch of liquid, pure liquid LSD in it, and then everyone would just go out of their minds for days. And the Grateful Dead would get up and play for a couple hours, and then they would take a break and take some more acid. And
different people would step in, and yeah, it was just a big, huge party.
It was a huge party. There's video of this if you can find it online. There are many stories to be told. There's a lot of information about this. It's well documented. But what the part that gets me every time that I think about the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test is that a normal hit of blotter acid paper, and I don't know the actual numbers. I'm just saying, this is just for storytelling purposes. Let's say it's 1 microgram per hit, per little tiny square of LSD. Yeah. And that is how they make those pieces of paper. It's blotter paper, and they just take a dropper and they put it on all the little squares. The Grateful Dead. So if that's 1 microgram, if you were to take 2 hits, 2 micrograms, you would be good for 8 to 12 hours, and you would be in outer space. If you took 3 or 4, you would be in a different universe.
Yeah.
If you took more than that, there's no telling what could happen. I can't even imagine the state of mind that you would be in.
That's where the music came from, man.
These guys were taking 100 micrograms at a time.
I know. Why not? They didn't know.
They didn't know.
It was a test. I have my test kitchen where I test new recipes.
Oh, yes, she does.
But they were having a test of drug testing.
Chrissy's like, a little bit of dibbity dabs, a little bit of crystal methies, a little bit of Smicky Smokies, some mushrooms, Brian S. Jeff, the pork is ready.
It's pink.
Yeah, it's pink, but it's also got a lot of liquid LSD in it. So any foul effects you feel would be mitigated by the fact that you won't be able to see in front of your own eyeballs.
Or eat it.
Yeah. Just lick it. Just lick it. So the part that just crazes me every time I read it, the first time I took LSD, I took 4 or maybe 5 hits. I took a strip because I didn't know and no one told me. And it wasn't until hours later that I realized just how twisted up I was.
Hours later in your Dick Tracy closet.
In my Dick Tracy closet. It's going to be worth millions. Hi, Dick Tracy. It's me, Brian. Madonna, shut up. I'm talking to Dick. Hey, Dick. I think Brian's in the closet again talking to Dick. My mom probably thought I was masturbating. He's talking to his dick. He's in the closet talking to his dick.
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave Britney alone. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Leave Britney alone. So anyway, this is just like amazeballs that this is happening. But these communities, these bands, I think drugs is a big part of that story.
Sure.
Because when you're getting fucked up with people, one of two things is happening. Either people are taking care of you because you're so twisted, and they will take care of you.
They will.
They will. And or you're making deep connections in a different part of your mind that's very rarely used.
Yes.
And so all you have to do is look at Woodstock to point to this. And I know that that's a happy-go-lucky story that's told a lot, the Woodstock story that is not as pretty as everyone likes to tell it. But the truth is, half a million people. What was it? Like half a million people that showed up or something? I don't know, though. I don't know the real number. A lot of people showed up, and they all took care of each other for 3 days when there was no food, no water.
Water, yeah.
The brown acid was bad. Don't eat the brown acid. My favorite part of the Woodstock movie. Hey, brothers and sisters. Glad we're all having a good time boogieing down. Listen, just got a note from the medical tent. Do not eat the brown acid. The brown acid is bad, brothers. And then you watch everybody in the crowd go,
oh, shit,
I ate the brown acid. If I was there, I'd just like run immediately into the water.
There was nowhere to go. You were out in the field.
You're out in the field.
New York.
I'll never forget. So I'm like super young, probably 12 or 13 years old. And 12, 13, 11, something like that. And I just had moved here. I had one friend. It wasn't even really a friend. It was just a kid that my mom, like, talked to the other mom. This is the 1 year I went to public school. And so one day the mom calls my mom and says, I'm going to Whitewater, the local.
Oh, Whitewater.
Yeah, the local big, you know,
it's
water
the water park.
Park
that's owned by Six Flags.
Yeah.
So it's like a, you know, and Six Flags, but with water.
Yeah, yeah, and it's huge. They have a bunch of rides. It's famous, at least down here in the Southeast. So we go to Whitewater for the day, and then we go back to this kid's house waiting for my mom to pick us up. It was going to be a couple hours later. So we're all sun-fried. We've been swimming all day. And the mom says, sit down. I'll make you some snacks, and I'll put in a movie for you. You know what she puts in? Fucking Woodstock, the movie. This lady is an old hippie. And then in the middle of the movie, she presses pause to show us where she is. She had been to Woodstock,
wow.
And it's her topless in the water. And I'll never forget looking at her and then looking at the screen and then looking at her again and going, those are her tits. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah. like holding my boner down. I was like, oh. Oh.
Yeah, what was
I got a boner.
What was your friend doing? Was he like, oh, mom?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you. It was so long ago. Probably. He's probably mortified. Yeah. It's going to be like when I sit down and go, yeah. Let me show you the commercial break. Come on, kids.
I'll
fix
you some snacks.
Yeah.
Press play.
I'll fix you some snacks. You listen to the time daddy did 6-8 balls of cocaine and had sex with a couple strippers. How embarrassing. TCB. Hey everybody, it's your favorite part of the show where I pine for more of your attention. First way you can help fill this hole in my soul, go to Apple and leave us a positive review. It takes 2 seconds out of your day and it really does help grow the show. But there's no quid pro quo here. You don't have to give us anything to get something for free. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button and send us your physical address. We'll send you a 21 EPM sticker directly to your locale. You can also go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited episodes the same day they air here on the audio feed. 855-TCB-8383 is where you go to drop us a text message. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all at 1-855-TCB-8383. Add the commercial break on Instagram if you're into that kind of thing. And TCB podcast on TikTok. It's what I hear the kids are doing. It's all the rage. One last thing. If you could, if you will, if you would, visit our sponsors' websites. Buy their products if you're in the market for them. And always use our specialized URLs or codes when and if you can. They pay our bills, and who knows, you may be the reason we have electricity in the studio tomorrow, and I thank you ahead of time for that kind gesture. Let's listen to those sponsors for a few minutes, and then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. Hey, TCB Universe, I wanted to let you know that Hatch sponsors this episode. You know I have 12 to 15 children. It seems like there's a new one every single year. And there's two words that fill me with more dread than any other. Sleep training. We've learned a few things about putting a child to bed, and we've learned that routine is most important. But even with a great routine, sometimes you need a little help, and that's why Astrid and I use Hatch. The new and improved second generation Hatch Rest makes sleep better and more magical for the entire family. This all-in-one Hatch Rest is a smart sleep device with a sound machine and nightlight that grows with your child. Even the youngest of our brood is getting a Hatch as part of their bedtime routine. Babies love the continuous sound of white noise and lullabies for soothing and comfortable sleep environment, and toddlers and big kids sleep independently with colors and sound cues. We've been using Hatch and their easy-to-use application to change bedtime from a nightmare to a good night. And right now, Hatch is offering up to 15% off of your purchase of a Hatch Rest and free shipping at hatch.co/TCB. That's hatch.co/TCB. So if you're ready for improved sleep with your children and yourself, go to hatch.co/TCB to get up to 15% off and free shipping. One more time, that's hatch.co/TCB. This is a product that we use, we're falling in love with it, and the kids know it's time to go night-night when they see the nightlight of Hatch. Thanks, Hatch, for becoming a sponsor of The Commercial Break. So the last two episodes, we've been digging into the Teresa Caputo origin story. And I say origin story. I don't even know. I think it's just her just bullshit.
I don't even know what we've learned.
I don't care because it's all bullshit. Yeah. So I don't. Yeah. We learned that she found out at 3 years old that she had this, and she remembers being 3 years old and talking to ghosts in her room or seeing ghosts in her room or whatever. We also learned that she doesn't see ghosts, but she does see ghosts. She doesn't talk to them, but she does. She doesn't get signals from them, but she will. She doesn't tell people what to do when the ghosts tell her what to tell them, but she does. She's just full of shit. This lady is just so full of shit. She also didn't actually decide to become a medium, quote unquote, until she unblocked it at late in her 20s.
Yeah, which after means she had children.
That's right.
And wanted to get out of the house.
Yeah, after she had children and her husband wasn't making any money, she decided, I got to do something. Don't blame her for that, you know? And listen, $5 psychic readings, okay, all in good fun. You know what I'm saying? Who's that lady on TV? Like Miss Cleo?
Yeah.
Miss Cleo? Okay, I get it. If you're calling up Miss Cleo, you either really believe in this stuff or you're just hanging on by a thread and you need someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. But telling people that you see and talk to their loved one, their dead loved ones, and that they're giving messages through there is, to me, an extraordinarily painful thing to do to people. And it's not true. How do I know it's not true? Because she is doing a time-tested, age-old gypsy
carnival.
It's a gypsy carnival type parlor trick, which is called a cold reading. You ask extraordinarily generalized questions like, has anybody in the audience ever owned a watch? And then, of course, all the people raise their hand. And then she goes, whose uncle had a watch? And then 10 people raise their hands. And then she goes, whose uncle had brown hair? Because he's farting on me, and that's a sign he had brown hair, whatever Teresa's bullshit is. And then 2 people raise their hand, and that's how she starts to narrow in. And then she just reads their faces. We've done this a million times, 10 times on the commercial break. We watch these cold readings with Teresa, and she gets it wrong more than she gets it right. But she engages in laughter, in comedy, in self-deprecation, and in misdirection to smooth over the wrongness.
And she looks like a carnival character herself. I mean,
she's a totally insane person.
She doesn't look
person.
Like a very professional, buttoned up business person.
No,
doing
not
business.
At all. Yeah, dude, she's not a... Yeah, that's right.
She's got crazy hair, dark tan, long curled nails, tons of rings.
If you met this lady at a bar, you wouldn't trust a fucking word she said.
Right.
You'd be like, this lady's a Looney Tune. And she calls herself an empath, but she's far from empathetic, in my opinion. But that's just my personal opinion. You can disagree with me, and that's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. But we were into her origin story. We decided to go 3 for 3 on this. We're going to see it all the way through. Chrissy, I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do. Let's finish this up so we can move on to other things.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I actually have a lot of fun
and
with
Teresa.
And we
have Barbara.
La Cucaracha. Yeah, a very respectable businesswoman, by the way. Barbara Corcoran.
And
Cochran,
she seems
whatever
like she's trying to call her out.
She keeps on telling Teresa, she says, your wig looks great. And Teresa keeps saying, I'm not wearing a wig. And she's like, well, it looks like you're wearing a wig. So I imagine that Barbara is doing this because that's what celebrities do. They glad hand each other. So Barbara is trying to pull some audience members away, from Teresa into the Barbara Corcoran world. But at the end of the day, I don't think that Barbara Corcoran likes Teresa. I think she's doing this under duress. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Let's listen to some more of this origin story. Barbara Corcoran doing the interview with Teresa Caputo.
For your show.
Oh, let me back that up a second.
I don't know why, too, that Barbara's talking so low. And then all of a sudden it like booms out with Teresa's voice.
Here's the problem. If you didn't see the first of the 3 episodes that we're doing here, this is a video of them doing a podcast in a room at a child's desk. Yes. They are literally sitting almost on the floor. They're sitting in tiny children's chairs with a tiny table that's low to the ground. What I think is going on here is that the microphones are actually not connected to the audio. We're just picking up on the microphone in the video camera.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it sounds so far away. And I've actually raised the volume to try and smooth that over a little bit. But
do you remember you were in my office for your show and you were feeling the spirit of both my mother and father here? I remember much of the detail of that afternoon that we spent. what was so shocking to me, I remember, is that you ended by saying that there had been a tree planted, and my mother was so happy about the tree. You floored me, knowing that after my mother passed from Alzheimer's, she was six so long, that there was a, and you said a red tree, which was a Japanese maple, which is mm-hmm. red. You didn't name Japanese maple, but you went far enough that you were able to tell
me. Aren't all trees eventually red when they turn colors? I mean, is that really?
Yeah, what time of the year
was it? Yeah, what time of the year was it?
Fall?
Yeah, see, it's all so sneaky, but it's not really. Like,
also, a tree planted in memory of somebody is pretty common.
It's a pretty common thing to do.
Detail. Mm-hmm. It was spellbounding. How are you able to get not just the spirit that's relaying messages to their loved ones, but how are you able to collect that kind of detail that, in mm-hmm. my mind...
It's a great question, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
...brought so much credibility to everything else you were saying.
Because that's one of my requirements for spirit. I've learned...
Oh! You got an agreement with spirit now, Teresa? You are so full of shit! By the way,
I got some requirements here.
I got some requirements. Let me tell you what they are. First of all, don't touch my hair. Second of all, you can only be in a positive mood. Second of all, third of all, I want you to spell out in detail exactly which kind of tree your mother planted. This is like you're requiring the afterlife to come through
she's
you in a certain way.
She's got requirements. Look, okay. She's selective.
She's selective. Mm-hmm. She's put filters on what she can see and what mm-hmm. she can't see. Mm-hmm. Sounds perfectly legitimate to me.
There are a lot of common things. I'm the first one to say that what I do is crazy. Anyone can say what spirit has me say. And there are common burdens and guilts that we carry, common ways people die. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, there's common ways
people die.
And common things that a lot of people have in common. Yes.
Grief is common amongst all of us. We all operate kind of under the same MO. And the part that drives me fucking crazy is that Teresa is, and what she just said, you just heard her say it. I'm the first one to admit what I do looks crazy because she is disarming you. She is saying, oh, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true, right? She is telling you that she's such a con artist. She's such a fucking con artist. Drives me crazy.
Healing message that they have me deliver, they have to validate it with something unique to the person that they're speaking to.
So that the person you're speaking to or relaying the message to believes you.
Right.
So important.
See, now,
I was like, I had one eye in and one eye out.
Sure.
So I'm a cynic.
Of course.
But after that, you have me all in.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I've learned
so you asked for that.
Of course. Of course. Of course! Of course you're going to question me before you meet me. I'm just a lady with a microphone, with a headset in my hair. Waiting for my producer to tell me what they found on Facebook.
If I could interrupt you a moment. You asked for that from the spirit, like, prove to me you're the right spirit. You're really her deceased husband by giving...
Oops, sorry.
And what is she negotiating with spirit?
Well, she negotiates on the off hours.
Yeah.
Don't do that on my time. I showed up to your show. I don't want you negotiating with spirit. I'd like to see how these conversations go down.
Yeah.
To be Teresa for one day. I'd just like to see how she goes to sleep at night, knowing that she's just full of fucking shit.
I know. She probably, it just came to me, she probably, you know, was able to kind of hit on some things and then just took it from there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can make a business out of this.
Well, yeah.
If I just do this and ask these questions.
Well, she said that she comes from a long line of people who are quote unquote in touch with spirit.
Yeah.
My guess is that means she's in a long line of people who have been doing this parlor trick forever.
Yes.
Right. Maybe she's the first one to be a billionaire out of it. But, you know, this has been happening for a long time.
Only that spirit thing remind her that a tree was planted.
Well, for instance, spirit knows when I give a speech or when I do my little mental preparation, they know when I'm ready to communicate. My rules are I need to feel the bond and relationship that they shared with the person. I need to know how they died.
And you ask the person who has not, you ask the person who's still alive?
This is all in my head.
Oh.
This is all in...
Teresa, it's me, Mr. Spirit.
What? You're not ready. What?
You think I have all day to sit around and wait for you to negotiate terms of a contract? I've got something to say to you, Teresa. I'm going to go piggy front someone else. Get back to me later. You know my number. Text me when you're ready. OMW, Teresa, OMW.
My preparation of when I read somebody.
I see.
Nobody, well, you know you had the experience. You didn't ask me anything.
No, I didn't. Right? But you sure told me a lot.
Your loved ones told you.
Yes, well said, but it seemed to have such credibility because of the amount of detail you gave.
Correct. But that's what they have to do. So with every healing message, they have to validate it with something.
You don't think somewhere in Barbara Corcoran's
Facebook,
Instagram.
Thing. She's a public figure.
180,000 appearances on Shark Tank, speeches, conversations with CNBC, MSNBC, whoever, that she has not ever said, when my parents died, I planted a tree on their behalf.
Yeah.
It's so unique that there's no way I would know about, could find out about it. Sometimes, so, because this is what's happening. I'm on the cusp now of trying to do an interview with you, right? And trying to block out things that I sense and feel. Because this is also what happens. I walk into a room and immediately spirit either starts coming or people know who I am and they start asking their loved ones, oh, this is an opportunity. Please step forward. So when you were sharing the story to me before about, seeing the tree planted, I kept seeing a quarter. That's my...
A quarter.
I just Googled Barbara Corcoran plants tree for dead mother. And the first thing that came up was a tribute page on a website called Tribute Archive.
Oh my God.
Where it tells you that when her mother died and that Barbara planted a tree for her.
Oh my God.
How suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Before where someone carries something of their departed loved ones with them. Maybe it's a quarter. Maybe it's a key. It's something that their loved one carried or they carry in memory of them. A lot of times it is.
I'm carrying my grandfather's dead fingers. I've got him in a mason jar. I am carrying milk and cereal from the last bath my loved one took.
Or someone did have a coin collection, or they had quarters in memory of their departed loved one. But there is that male
quarters.
What was quarters?
Quarters. Is that like something you put nickels on somebody's eye, like double nickels or whatever? I think it's nickels and not quarters. Why would I carry a quarter around that when one of my people owned? I put that in a vending machine the first chance I got. You know what I'm saying? I'd throw it in my coin jar or something.
Yes.
I wouldn't carry that around. That's ridiculous. I'd carry the most common thing in the world. Let's think. I carry a bottle of water around in my deceased loved one's memory.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, she said, too, she said a lot of times it's jewelry, which is correct. Like, that is a very common thing.
Do you have jewelry from your mother?
A necklace, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So it's pretty common,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. And my grandfather had a coin collection and he left us the coins. And, you know, there's other stuff that the people in my life who have passed away,
right.
I have some memento from them.
Yeah.
I don't carry it around with me every day, but it's somewhere. And if someone asked me the question, have you ever had anything of value from your dearly but departed loved one? I'd be like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? You know, coins? Sure, Teresa. What kind of coins? Which exact coin? What year was it processed? What does it look like? What's on the coin? Like, if you can answer those questions, but she can't answer those mm-hmm. questions because that's not the contract she made with the spirit.
I'm just waiting for my attorney to review the agreement, Teresa. I'll get back to you ASAP. Because I've got all the time in the world. Actually, I've got all the time in the netherworld.
That father figure, so whether if it's a grandfather, someone's father, could be an uncle that was like a father to them. The laboring of the chest is my symbol for that they pass from something of the heart, lungs, or chest. And then there is also something about change. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I come up with this bullshit. I just do. I literally wake up in the morning and I go, wow, I got more bullshit.
I thought you said, too, that something to do with her heart and lungs was that somebody had drowned. Like, she just says different
She says
things.
I fill up with fluid when fill up with fluid.
Though, as I'm talking
to you. Your fucking brain is full of fluid.
That's what I see. I see flashes of things, and I just sense and then feel other things. There was also
I thought you said you don't see anything. In the last episode, she claimed she does not see dead people. She does not see ghosts. She doesn't see anything. She just feels it.
Well, also, she's being very general. I see flashes and then this and that. And then she quickly changes the subject. Now, okay, over here.
Now, over here, look. Yep. I see a dismembered penis floating around in a jar of milk and cereal. It tells me that he was a TikTok fan.
That passed from something of a stomach issue or something.
That might be me.
Or something with the stomach.
I hope I'm not going to kick the bucket.
Barbara. That might be me. I have an upset stomach.
Yeah. What if Barbara just fell over right there? Then I might go, I'm deleting all episodes with Teresa Caputo. Yeah. By the way, this is her producer signaling her that he's found something about somebody in the room and a stomach. Yeah.
A stomach.
No. My aunt just asked me that on the way over here. They're not coming for me, are they, Teresa? I'm like, no, auntie, they're not. She's like, well, I am 90.
You'd be a spooky person if I...
Teresa, I just got a phone call from the other spirits. We are not in agreement with your agreement. And by the way, every time you laugh, a spirit dies. It's a double death, Teresa. Stop with that cackling.
Or a casual dinner, Frank. Did you give me any advice?
No. That's why I have no friends. They're all dead, Barbara.
One second. I'm sorry. Just,
is it my hair?
No, your hair's perfect.
I'm sweating. Whew.
Yeah, I bet I'd be sweating too if I had to answer all my bullshit. And by the way, what a poorly edited video. They've got producers running in and fixing hair.
Look how tall he is.
I know.
Because they're seriously on look at his knees. Chair.
Yes, you have to see this. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. You have to see that they are actually sitting in children's chairs because there's a man that just ran in to fix Teresa's microphone and the table is at his shins. It's a 1 foot table. No wonder she's sweating. She hasn't sat in a table like that since she was in third grade.
Oh, my.
Not be problematic.
Do you want to run your fingers through my hair, Barbara, to prove that it is not a wig?
I want that on camera.
Sense of humor.
I do. I love the fact.
Barbara goes, no, I just want to get done with this interview.
People think that I wear a wig.
Sorry. Back.
We're okay?
Yeah.
Teresa, how do you get alone time? How do you find peace? How do you click off? And just
honestly, the agreement.
She literally tells us when we can contact her. In the agreement, it says 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday. Those aren't banker's hours. What are we doing? I got shit to say. You don't think I want to talk to people? I've been dead. I'm dead. I cannot communicate unless I use this dumb bitch. It sucks. Mr. Spirit, out.
A normalcy of any kind in your life.
I'm just starting to learn that.
How do you do that?
I started by starting to really take care of myself. It's a hard thing because I think we look at things as a selfishness or being selfish or self-absorbed, right? Mm. And I've learned that I deserve quiet time. I deserve peace. And I think Spirit also realizes that also. Because along with everything, because I'm always channeling, whether I'm filming for Long Island Medium or doing a live show, I'm always channeling. I'm always exhausted.
Whenever I'm making money, it's open for business.
Whenever I'm making millions of dollars, I say it's selfish of me, but I just have to learn to have some quiet time. And that's why I only stay at Ritz-Carlton's. She does, by the way, only stay at Ritz-Carlton's. That's the word on the street. She has two assistants, and they're the only people that can touch her clothing or her hair.
Well,
of course.
I mean, you've got to have one person that's doing your hair strictly.
Yeah, strictly, because you're putting headphones in.
Yes.
And so to talk to your producers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
And it's interesting on how over the years, Spirit has learned how to kind of step aside a little bit.
Because they're not needed it yourself.
I need it.
So you dictated that with your own thought.
I needed that.
What did Barbara say? You dictated that.
You dictated that. Yeah, what did she tell her? Dead dad? She can't come around anymore? Dad, I'm sick of you. Shut up for a second. But then, Teresa, I told you not to get involved in this shit. Now what are you going to do? Now your TV show is canceled. Your husband's left you. What are you going to do?
I saw it and realized that it was becoming very taxing. I make what I do look very easy. It's the hardest thing that I have to do.
Oh, don't pat yourself on the back, Teresa. What humility.
To feel someone's emotions, a pain, a sorrow, a loss, and a grief, and then in the next moment have me do something to give them the gift of laughter. That is one thing, another thing that I require them to do, because that is the best medicine for the soul.
You mean you require that the spirit give you something yes. funny to get their loved ones?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just wish I could go to a Teresa Caputo show and just have one of these buttons.
I think we're banned. We're definitely banned.
Oh, we are never getting into a Teresa Caputo show. And as much as I'd like to think that we could get somebody else in there, mm-hmm. I think these producers are probably well-versed at all the tricks of the trade at this point on who's coming in, who's coming out. When you sign up to go to a Teresa Caputo show and you buy tickets, you can be almost assured that they are doing a background check on you, at least a cursory one, right? To see if you've ever talked about her, posted content about her, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing about.
Or just a smile.
Yeah, of course.
It's the greatest gift.
But then how do you really chill out? In other words, what would be, give me a picture of how you chill out. You have a whole afternoon where you don't have any spirits visiting.
Sometimes I'll just sit and I'll just like binge watch like Friends.
Mm-hmm. Not on the couch next to you.
Ross and Rachel, break up, Teresa. Can we talk now? Info for you, Teresa, while you're binge watching Friends for the first time. Friends reunion sucks.
It did suck.
It did suck. Yeah. I mean, it was like a walk down memory lane, but who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, what is she doing? She's drinking water through a straw?
Yeah.
Do people do that?
She does.
That's weird.
That's why we can edit. Thank God.
See that?
Yeah, that's why you can edit, but you didn't.
I know. We're going to have to roll.
I know. I need to text to Barbara. And if I had her phone number, I needed to text Barbara and say, I can help with this. Yeah. But put me in touch with Teresa and I can help you with your editing.
Yes. I'm just sitting, you know. I'll just literally go in my bed and just lay down and just close my eyes for not take a nap, but just kind of, you know, think about things that I want to accomplish or just kind of let go of anything, any type of stresses, even if it's just like for 2 or 3 minutes.
And you just taught yourself that recently.
I taught myself recently.
And what caused that to happen? Why that life change? It's a big one.
Because it's important. I realized that it's important. You know, after losing my grandparents, my grandmother was just gone 10 years, my grandfather 5. My life was so busy and hectic and crazy. And realizing with me being away, how important, you know, family is and how important
Barbara's shuffling papers.
Yeah, Barbara's shuffling papers she's as bored as we are. Because the truth is, no one cares. All right, I think that's about as much as I can take of Miss Teresa Caputo. We binged it. We went there. We saw it. We bought the plane tickets.
Yeah.
I got the t-shirt. I'm done with it. Next time we see Teresa, it's going to be in her natural environment, cold reading somebody. So, but we'll give it a little breath because three episodes in a row is enough.
I just was trying to picture, too, Teresa, like, coming out of a pool, like, with the hair down.
Down?
Like, down.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a... The whole thing.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody has any pictures of her with her hair undone. I mean, I think she's got some videos, like Instagram videos, where her hair is not done up like that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because she doesn't have headphones in.
That's true. She doesn't have invisible ear. Ultimate ears in. That's right. Speaking of ultimate ears, I'm going to get some of those.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that later. So I don't want to ruin what little hearing I have left. I'm just blowing out with these damn cans. All right, listen. I don't know what else to say. Buy Brian's cream and cereal bathtub mixture at tcbpodcast.com. You can also get your free 21 EPM sticker. We're sending them out to you via the web for free. Go to tcbpodcast.com. Hit the contact us button. Send us your address. You can also listen to all the audio and watch all the video right there, our entire catalog, or hit us up on Apple, any of the major podcast players. You're already listening, so you already know that. What I would like is if you left us a review or a rating on your favorite podcast player, preferably Apple or Spotify, but whatever you're listening to, it doesn't matter. Just go ahead and hit that little button. Give us a little love a little currency, and we certainly would appreciate it. Gets the show out to more people, makes us more discoverable. You know how it goes. Also, at The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast. TCB Podcast on TikTok. And we would love it if you would go to youtube.com/The Commercial Break, like and subscribe. Leave a comment on your favorite video. Full episodes the same day they are here on the audio feed. It's awesome. You'll love it. I promise you. Go watch those videos. 855-TCB-8383. 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Comments, questions, concerns, content ideas. We're taking them all. Never spam. We'll always respond. We love you. We want to hear from you. Tell us your stories. Ask a question. You know what to do. You know what to do. All right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
So I will tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I will tell you best to you.
And best to you, best friend.
And I will say best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say, goodbye.